Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. Maureen chats with a different guest each week about their sustainability activities and initiatives, from advice on tiny houses to rooftop gardens to wildlife-friendly farming practices. Maureen's guests are passionate individuals who are making a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Sustainable Dunedin City.
Welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, host of this show. Now, electric bikes or e-bikes are becoming more common on the streets of Dunedin as well as elsewhere in the world. And perhaps you've already got one or you're curious about finding out which type of e-bike would work for you and where you live. I'm also keen to find out about what kind of bike is suitable for the conditions that we have here in Dunedin. So for today's show, I'm Skyping into the Dunedin studio to chat with Nathan Parker, who runs an independent e-bike distribution company called Dunedin Electric Bikes. It's run out of Northeast Valley and it's selling bikes from a variety of companies specifically for the Dunedin market. Now, Nathan is a guy who's passionate about creating a more sustainable future for us all, and he believes that e-bikes are part of that future. This show was recorded on the 9th of October 2017. So welcome to the show, Nathan.
Thank you, Maureen.
Lovely to have you on the show.
Yeah.
So now tell me, because you used to be the schoolmaster at Warrington, so this is a bit of a jump in career for you, isn't it? How did you get into electric bikes?
Well, look, there's been two major influences in my life. There was one, when I was living in the far north, there was a man, and we nicknamed him Recumbent Bob. He had recumbent bikes, but he also had an electric bike he'd imported from China, maybe even Japan, and his idea was to actually take the wheel off this bike and put it onto his recumbent, and then he was going to run solar panels on a trailer behind the recumbent to charge the battery. And this was all back in 1997, 98, when electric bikes and solar panels were, you know, something of the future almost. And then when I was working out at Warrington, I had a technician who would cycle out from Dunedin to Warrington and work on the computers during the day and then cycle home. And all of a sudden it was like, okay, somebody can cycle on an electric bike to and from town easily, do a day's work. And I thought, I've got to check this out further. And that was it.
Wow, yeah, because that's really significant, isn't it? Because I remember cycling once and that was enough, but it wasn't with an electric bike. I was exhausted when I got into time.
Oh, look, totally. And this is the thing, is keeping up that fitness level. And I really take my hat off to those people who have got the fitness level to manage Dunedin hills, Dunedin headwinds. I certainly don't have that fitness level, so therefore I need an electric bike.
Yes. Now, before we get into electric bikes, and specifically, because I want to talk about electric bikes for Dunedin and the conditions that are specific to this place. But just for people, who are listening around the world, in different countries, we've got different names and also different regulations around electric bikes. So for New Zealand, what are the regulations for electric bikes here? Briefly.
Okay, yeah, we've got a fairly relaxed set of laws around them. At the moment, the only law that there is that we need to have a maximum of 300-watt motor, which is almost like the silliest of laws to have. So we have got no law on speed limit, and we're allowed to have a throttle. Some countries have throttle. They can be pedal assist only, or they can be throttle only. But the biggest issue is the 300 watts. So in Dunedin, a 300-watt motor will get an average cyclist around town fairly easily. But then to get up the hills or into headwinds, it's almost like we need to start having slightly bigger motors. And these are very much so when it comes to moving from a standard e-bike to an e-cargo bike or e-trike. So for hills carrying loads, the 300 watts would be very, very limiting.
Yes.
Or is limiting, yeah.
It is limiting, yeah. It's when you put the load on it in particular. Mm. So for yourself, you can, like I lived on Pine Hill and I borrowed an electric bike for the weekend, and I remember going up and down it three times, which I would never do if I was cycling. I would, think about my journey and go up and down once, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, if we take the scenario into cars, you know, it'd be a little bit like having, you know, everybody driving around in a 1,000cc car. And, you know, that's great for most of the population most of the time. But as soon as you want to take a horse float somewhere or a trailer or, you know, a family of five, suddenly the car can't do what it's intended to do. And that's the same with the 300 watts with the electric bikes.
Okay, so, you know, well, hills seem to be obviously a big part of, you know, one of the barriers and or one of the specifications, I should say, in terms of, you know, having a bike that can get you up the hill. How do you choose then the bikes that you advertise on your website?
Yeah, look, what I have is some specialist type bikes that have really been designed for hill climbing. So for some people, they are determined that they're going to be able to go up pretty well any street in Dunedin, and we certainly have bikes that can even do Baldwin Street.
Who aren't from Dunedin, Baldwin Street is the steepest street in the world.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Dunedin.
Yeah, and we don't recommend taking electric bikes up there. You know, it's definitely it's a mission at the very, very top, and I would say quite dangerous actually. So you know, we try and choose bikes that have got the capability of getting up hills, but not everybody needs to be able to get up the steepest hill. So some people are happy to have a walk assist function on their bike. So that means you get off your bike, your e-bike, because the hill's too steep, and maybe you've got your shopping on the back. And so you push this button and the bike will walk along beside you at 6 kilometres an hour. So you're not pushing it. It's pushing itself and its own load. The other one is that we quite often overlook some of the smaller wheeled bikes. So the 20-inch wheeled bikes, I've been really fascinated in, because they've got a higher torque, which means that the motor turns its energy into hill climbing capacity far greater with a 20-inch wheel rather than, you know, 26. So a 20-inch wheel is what was on the old low lines and you know, the bikes for the 70s and 80s, whereas we've moved now much more into the mountain bike size 26-inch wheel.
Would you say that there's a movement then towards electric bikes to have smaller wheels for this reason?
I think people are just realising that bikes can come in all shapes and sizes, and the shapes and sizes give people different options. So a 20-inch wheel bike is ideal for climbing hills, for commuting around town, but it's probably going to be not so fantastic for doing huge distances. Although saying that, you know, I commute in from Warrington on a 20-inch wheel bike. So it's definitely doable.
So these bikes, you say they're better for shorter distance, but perhaps steeper hills, so
yeah,
perhaps more inner city living people.
Yeah, and the nice thing about the 20-inch wheels is that many of them are foldable as well, so that means that, you know, if you're an apartment liver or, you know, or want to do one way, so you cycle into town, you can then put it onto the bus to take it home or into a vehicle to take home. So that's one of the advantages of a smaller bike. And they're also lighter too. And you know, a lot of my customers are people who are either mature or some of them are struggling with health issues. So having a bike that's lesser weight is a greater advantage for them.
Yes, I think that's a really critical thing. And one of the things I remember, you know, my bike wasn't an electric bike, but it broke down. I didn't have the equipment to fix it. And then along came the bus, because one of the great things about Dunedin is that we're now having, you know, we've got the carriers on the front of the bus, and I was able to whiz down into town and get my bicycle fixed. So, but being able to lift your bike onto the front of the bus, that can be a challenge.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, and electric bikes, you know, the lightest one that I have is 19 kgs, you know, and that's still heavier than a standard bike. And the heaviest are sort of getting up to be 25, 30 kgs, well, not the heaviest, but, you know, that's a lot of my bikes, they're 25 to 30 kgs level.
So what about other specifications on the bikes? Do you look at whether the the motor, or is on the front or the rear?
All of those things. So there's been a real push in the last year and a half for mid-drive bikes, and they're great because, you know, the motor's in the mid, so there's a nice weight distribution, and the power then is going through the chain, and, you know, they're lovely bikes to ride. But traditionally we've either had front or rear wheel, and there's definitely been a move towards the rear wheel for hills, but surprisingly my best hill climbers are two front wheel drive bikes. In fact, three of them actually. I've got a cargo bike that hauls loads up hills, and what it is it's the way that those motors have been set up. So they're high torque, so they have less speed, but a greater capacity to climb hills. So that's the compromise. So if you're going for a bike that you want to climb hills, then it might not be as fast as one that doesn't.
So it sounds like, you know, you've been done quite a lot of road testing with your bikes. Is that something that people can do if they come to your shop and try it out?
Yeah, that's something that we really encourage, actually, Maureen. When I purchased my first electric bike, I had it for a few days and rode here, there, and everywhere, and it was like, wow, this thing is so magic. And I have a lot of customers who come in and try bikes, and the nice thing about where we are is up in Northeast Valley, so we've got a nice, quiet, no-exit street and cycle lanes that go up either side of the valley. And then, you know, when you're ready to choose a hill, there's a few hills to actually try the bike on as well. So, and when we encourage, you know, the lesser steep streets to start off with.
And right.
Yeah. And
no, that's great.
I'm also, you know, a big one these days on helmets and high vis. You know, electric bikes are doing from about 25 to 45 kilometres an hour. So for people who might not have been on an electric bike before, or are new to cycling, or haven't been for a long time, you know, being highly visible on the road is really important. But also just the fact that, you know, you're doing such big speeds, so you need to be cognizant of the traffic around you.
That's right. And people as well, pedestrians,
Yeah, there's a lot of... We're getting a lot of complaints from people who, you know, are on shared pathways. So places where pedestrians and cyclists can go, where the cyclist is pulling up behind a pedestrian and ringing the bell and actually asking politely, can the pedestrian move to one side, and only finding that they're being ignored because the pedestrian is actually wearing some type of headphones, so can't hear anything from behind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess this is a transition period, isn't it, really? You know, because in other countries where cycling is much more common, you know, people kind of, pedestrians and cyclists, they know how to behave around each other much better.
Yeah, I think it's something that, you know, we're slowly getting better at. I've definitely noticed a change in Dunedin in the last wee while. I think it's because we've got more cyclists on the road. And I also think that we're also getting a lot more older people on the road who you know, are maybe helping a change the attitudes, but also parents with children. So, you know, you see a child on the back of a bike, all of a sudden you as a motorist are not going to get aggressive with somebody, maybe with a child or maybe a senior person, whereas you might see that, you know, a group of lycra clad cyclists are fair game, maybe, I don't know. Yeah.
I've often thought, you know, I've tried to put my mind in the psyche of the driver, because there is a bit of aggression there sometimes, and you know, to try and understand, you know, why it's happened. But I just do see that we're in this transition period where we've all to learn to share the road. You know, it's about sharing.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
So now you've, on your website, I noticed that you've got a special mention of one particular brand that is called the Kuwaka.
Yeah.
You've sort of tailored it to the Dunedin market. So tell me a little bit about this bike in particular.
Well, it's come about because I'm a commuter, really. So I like to cycle in from Warrington into Dunedin and return, and a lot of my family are doing so as well. and that's a return trip of about 60 kilometres, and it's just the most glorious cycle. We take the back road that was the old North Road into town, and I wanted a bike that was going to be able to do big distances and cope with the weather, and also allow me to sort of get there and back and not be worrying about battery, because worrying that the battery is going to go flat is one of the things that electric bike owners and electric car owners both struggle with. Anxiety over your battery anxiety, I think it's called. And it's not as if
psychologists for this phenomenon.
Yeah, and it's not as if bikes can't be cycled without the battery, charged. But it's just that worry that it's going to run out. So the bike that I imported a group of them, and so it's a mid-drive bike, so it feels like a bike, and it's got big tyres that cover distances, a reflective tyres, so great at night, and integrated lights and mudguards, ideal for those Dunedin conditions. And that itself has been a really interesting journey as well, Maureen, sort of going down the whole importation of bikes road and just realising there are so many options out there. I've come to the conclusion that I'm not going to import anymore because of the fact that there's so many people who are importing very similar bikes now. So things have really changed in the last year and a half. And
So you're actually seeing that there's a big increase in uptake of bikes coming into the country?
Yeah, very much so.
So that's good. That's good.
Oh, look, it is. I mean, the biggest problem is around quality control. And it's like a lot of things, whether it's steel or electric bikes, they've got to arrive and be suitable for the conditions or our market here in Dunedin or New Zealand. And there's been a few bikes that we've ended up at the workshop which have been imported, and they've come in cheap and maybe they've served their purpose initially, but once they're broken, because they're sort of a one-off, we're quite often unable to fix them.
Right, okay. So I guess there's a bit of a thing people need to be thinking about, quality, and perhaps going for something that they know has got a bit of a better reputation.
That's a funny thing around bikes too. My most popular model of bikes are my least expensive. And when I first got into selling them, this is a bike called Volto, the Volto range. When I first started selling them, I thought because they were, a cheaper bike, that I would be spending more time repairing them and having trouble with maintenance. But actually, no, it's almost the opposite way around. What it is that some of these bikes have been built for the Chinese market where, they've produced up to, I think it's just on 220 million electric bikes now. So they've got things very, very right. And what they're doing is, they're using stronger componentry, maybe heavier componentry. So these bikes are not lightweight, that we were used to, but they don't necessarily need to be any longer because of the fact that they've got their own motor and battery.
Well, that's great. It's great to hear about these huge numbers of electric bikes out there.
Mm.
So, for the future for New Zealand, I guess, well, you'd love to see us all having an electric bike in our garage instead of a car, perhaps. What kind of things do you think would help facilitate New Zealand really embracing electric bikes even more than they are right now?
I wonder whether... whether it becomes a tax on petrol, would shift people out of vehicles. I think seeing the bikes that are available now. So I've got a couple around town that I'm just so impressed with. There's one in particular. It's a cargo bike, and when I let this guy try it, I actually dropped it off at his house. And the street that he lived on is so steep. And then he was going to transport his 8-year-old daughter to school and then gone to work. And I thought, oh, no, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. But actually he found it worked fantastically well for him and his daughter. They climbed the hills, no sweat. And he drops her off at school and then poodles off to work and does the same in reverse. So that's really lovely to see. And so seeing, people carrying loads, carrying children on bikes, I think that's going to change things. And also, you know, things like the Sky Path in Auckland, you know, that's the path, the cycleway or the cycle pedestrian way, which is going to be under the Harbour Bridge in Auckland, is going to be phenomenal because it means that people who are commuting, you know, 15, 20 kilometres in a car and it's taking them an hour or plus to get to work, we'll be able to do that on an e-bike far quicker. Certainly I find that around town, if I'm going from North East Valley through to South Dunedin, I can get there faster than a car. And if I'm shopping in town, it's way quicker because I can pull up outside a shop, be inside doing what I'm needing to do, and then be gone. So I think it's those little things that people maybe see that will hopefully drive people towards more electric bikes.
And I think people, you know, we can hear about things, but until we actually see it or until our neighbour or relative gets one, and you know, then it becomes personal and it really takes off. Now, so if people are excited about getting an e-bike, which I'm sure they will be after listening to this show, and they'd like to come out and visit your place, where should they come to?
Yeah, come and find us up North East Valley. We're the third street on the left-hand side, Allen Street. It's very quiet, and people can try the bikes there and then, you know, as I said before, shoot up the valley with them. That's definitely the way to do it. Try the bike. Get on a bike. Yeah, I really, really love seeing people getting onto an electric bike for the first time. You know, the smiles, the whoops of joy, you know, and literally, you know, they're on the lowest battery set or motor setting, and there's whoops of joy, and it's like, whoa! And it's like, okay, you wait to see what this thing can do. Yeah, yeah. And a lot of seniors, I love seeing seniors. I've got a few people now in their 80s on electric bikes. And, you know, they're... The research is out there that if you cycle, you are going to live longer. It's just, it's one of those given facts these days. Yeah. So, you know...
Because you're, even though you've got your, you know, you've got the assistance of the bicycle, but the motor, but you still are getting exercise as well.
That's exactly right.
You can, it's not exhausting you.
Yeah, that's right. We call it the sort of no sweat exercise. So, you know, it's low impact on joints, it's low impact on your body full stop, but you can adjust the power level to increase your fitness blast that you, if you're wanting to do that. I've had two or three people who have had hip and knee replacements who have come and bought electric bikes and are using them as part of their therapy.
Fantastic.
Because it allows that mobility, yeah. Yeah, and you know, for those people who are thinking about moving onto a mobility scooter, you know, wanting to be active and out there, we've got trikes that allow those people who maybe have got stability issues to still enjoy being on a bike.
Right, oh, that's great. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Nathan. So if people want to find out now, they can go to your website. It's dunedinelectricbikes.nz, and they can find out the information there. You're on Facebook, you've got your website, your phone details are on there. In North East Valley, up Allen Street, you say?
That's the one, yeah.
That's great. So thank you very much for coming on the show, and thank you for listening. This is Eco Living in Action, and I'm Maureen Howard, and today I've been talking to Nathan Parker about electric bikes in Dunedin and how fantastic they are, basically. So if you would like to listen to the show again, you can download it as a podcast from the Otago Access Radio website at oar.org.nz. We're also on iTunes, and I'll get this up on Facebook, Eco Living in Action. So thank you again for listening, and Eco Living in Action is supported by Sustainable Dunedin City. Catch you next week.
Sustainable Dunedin City aims to facilitate a positive, secure and sustainable future for Dunedin. We're local people interested in issues of climate change, declining energy security and sustainability. Is their effect our city? Sustainable Dunedin City produces a regular online newsletter of sustainability related events, hosts regular green drink sessions and organises the Big Green Challenge. For more information or to join, go to www.sustainabledunedincity.org.nz.
along the line. You can hear the magpies call and the crickets sing. These sounds of steel will join with the bush saw scrape and whine. That's when you will hear our axes ring. The teamster all too soon, he moves on in. The logs we fall to the line he clears away. 8 horses 4 by 2 and the two-wheeled wooden rim. The axle groans at least 6 times a day. Keep them logs rolling, boys, down to the mill, you boys. Keep them logs rolling down, for we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. The mill train sweats and strains most all day. Down 20 miles a track to feed the mill. Stoker keeps the firebox full with the offcuts from the day, so that later on she'll make that 3-mile hill. The mill first does strip and bark the logs and sends them to the benchman standing by. He slips the mill saw through, never mind what slips and pokes. It's then that you'll see the chips and the sawdust fly. Keep them logs rolling, boys, down to the mill, me boys. Keep them logs rolling down, for we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. When the weather's fine, they'll be down at the Hamlin side. When a nor'wester comes on and it's down to Flinders Bay, through grueling surf you'll see them big ships spray. Spare a thought for us chaps who work an hour. Next time you walk the streets of a London town, in the forest, in the mill, on the line and in the yard, just to keep them damn logs rolling down. Keep them logs rolling, boys, down to the mill, me boys. Keep them logs rolling down, for we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. Keep them rolling, boys, down to the mill, me boys. Keep them logs rolling down, for we'll drive the crosscuts through just to show what we can do. We'll pave all the streets of London town. We'll pave all the streets of London town. Pave all the streets of London town.